I know it's a tremendous honor to be on the Appropriations Committee as a freshman, or as a redshirt freshman, as I call you, but there's a lot of studying going on, huh?
Oh, man. Been hit every day this week. We've been going through the various agencies and their budgets and trying to get a handle on that. Frankly, it's somewhat frightening in a way because I don't know enough to ask questions on some kind of occasions because there's so much coming at me at one time, and we're trying to watch out for the taxpayers' dollars. That's my job. I think that as time goes on, I'll be able to do a better job, but it is a little bit exasperating to me because I wanted to jump right in and ask questions and make sure those taxpayers' dollars are being spent appropriately, and yet it's coming at us at machine gun rate.
You know, what's interesting is, obviously, the controller had a projection. Looks like there's a little bit of money there. There's money that's going to be going into the rainy day fund, but by the same token, I'm sure that you have people who are heads of these agencies that are looking for the increases in their budgets as well, and that's kind of where the crisis comes in.
Well, luckily, most of the agencies are pretty well holding the line. Some of them are asking to be brought back to the level that they were prior to this current budget, and some of them are actually reducing their budget by efficiencies. So, also, I've learned a lot about how many of these agencies get money that comes from the federal government. And in some ways, I guess that's some people would call that free money, but I don't. I feel like it's money that we get, and do we, how do I want to say it, are we efficient with that money?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I want us to be efficient in every case, and it's something that I think breeds inefficiency rather than efficiency. If it had been appropriated locally, I think we would have been better off, but the state, of course, wouldn't have that kind of money. So these programs are all assumed beneficial to the citizens of the state, but I'm kind of a little concerned about the further it gets away from home, the more likely that money is not being spent efficiently.
You know, one of the words that seems to be a buzzword in Austin right now is transparency, and I'm sure you're aware of the story that came out last week that a district judge ruled that we cannot find out what the pension payments are to retired legislators who may in fact be lobbyists as well in Austin. And I think there are a lot of people who are concerned about that. Vicki Truitt was the state rep who had that bill passed. What is your feeling on the idea that really the retirement system is the one who decides whether or not the pension information can be released on legislators or other people?
Scott, I have to admit, you caught me totally off guard.
Okay.
On that. I don't mind being caught off guard because I will find that out and dig into it a little bit. First of all, I think anybody's pension should be open to the public.
Mm-hmm.
That's just a natural belief. If we don't know the information, then how can we complain or even get it changed? But I do think that Vicki or anybody else's state retirement program ought to be available to public inspection.
Well, if you got a pencil handy, and I don't mind that. I mean, I want you to look that up. Let me tell you that her bill was HB 2460 that passed. But
was that last session?
That was last session. But the guy who beat her this year is out of Southlake, and his bill is HB 526. So if you could look into those two and see what your thoughts are on it, we'll visit certainly next week.
That's I sure will.
Yeah, that's one of the nice things that since we talk on a regular basis, you can do that. The other thing is we got a chance to touch last week but didn't really get to go into any detail on Judge Dietz's ruling about the unconstitutionality of the way that the schools are funded right now. Since that time, some Republicans, in fact, Brandon Crichton, who's the chairman of the House Republican Caucus, has said, acting so soon, in other words, quickly, to restore the $5.4 billion cut, his words, quote, irresponsible and unproductive. Are you comfortable with that as a member of the Republican Party?
Well, I don't know that I would call it that. I will say this. We really don't know what all that ruling is as of yet. We have to get his final ruling. It's going to go through an appeals process, I'm quite sure. Unfortunately, it takes time. We all need to know, and you need to know, people of Bryan and College Station need to know that public education is a top priority. And we're going to have to solve it some way. It seems like this is the fourth or fifth time that the method of funding has been declared unconstitutional, and I think we need to figure out a way to solve that. I haven't heard the answer. I do know that Jimmy Don Acock, who is, by the way, class of 69 also.
All right, there you go.
And an Aggie.
Uh-huh.
Veterinarian, is chairman of public education. He's introduced a bill that I believe it's HB 5,
mm-hmm.
and it has been pretty well accepted by the education community. I've run it past both local superintendents, and they seem to be very pleased with it. I'm sure there's other things that they would like, and I know they'll be in contact with me about it. But I think it's going to reduce some of the testing requirements and cut down the number of those requirements, and just really clean up some of the things that most people are unhappy with in public education, including pushing for more STEM education, which I think is very, very important. And in the end, I hope we have some more trade and skills training.
Well, without having seen HB 5 now, does it show that some of that funding of the $5.4 billion that was cut, some of it or all of it will be restored?
Scott, there's another subcommittee in appropriations that is looking at funding for education, and frankly, I have not visited with anybody on that committee at this point to know what they're doing. I suspect there will be some funding replacements, but I do not know. That will come before the whole appropriations committee in the next couple of weeks, and we'll review it at that time. I will try to dig into it a little bit and see what's going on, but I've been so busy with areas that I've been concerned with that I haven't looked at that.
Yep.
I think that one of the things that I'm in favor of, and I hope that the school superintendents from all over the state will tell their representatives those programs that are ineffective, those programs that cost them money and are ineffective, and that we need to take a look at those and make sure they're removed from the requirements of our schools.
Yep.
If they're not effective and they're costing us money, we're just throwing money down the rat hole.
Sure.
I don't like that, and I don't know what they are. The school superintendents are going to have to let us know, and the school teachers are going to have to let us know.
Okay, and I guess y'all are probably going to, you're ready to ask for an hourly wage, aren't you, after this?
Well, I tell you, I'm not worried about the money because we didn't come over here for money, but yep. I will say that it's a lot of hours, a lot of things going on in the evenings, different groups trying to, we had a really nice event last night that Texas State University System sponsored to recognize John Kemple, who was a longtime member of the House and mm-hmm. died right before last session,
right.
I guess it was.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an absolutely great program. The governor, the lieutenant governor, the speaker were all there. We even had a little message from President Bush via video, and it was a neat event, and it reminded us of people who have done good job for the state for a long time and have worked across party lines. And I was really quite impressed with that program.